Okay, good morning, everybody. Thank you for inviting me to give the shiur. My name is Joshua Krah. The shiur today will be Moi Katan Daf Chaf Beis. The weekly shiur for Masechas Moi Katan is dedicated by David and Paula Bouncer and Omo Construction. And the weekly breakfast is sponsored by Megal Mach, Le'ilo Nishmas Fega Bas Chaim, and Shimon Ben Zeb, and Shem Hashem Aliyah. And happy Rosh Hashanah to everybody. Okay, so we will start off on the bottom of Chaf Alvam Beis, the last skinny line on the Daf. This is a brisa that we will discuss. Chaf Aleph on a base.
But it's really Chaf Beis.
We're doing the Chaf Beis, yes. So the last skinny line on Chaf Aleph on a base introduces a brisa to us. So Tanya Rabbanan. Aval Gimel Yamim Harishonim, Bami Makam Karov Mona Imahem, Bami Makam Rachok Mona Lasma. So what the brisa here is discussing is a situation where an Aval comes and travels to town where the Avelim are sitting Shiva, but they're already in the midst of Shiva. So does this mourner who comes in the middle of the Shiva, does he go on the schedule of those who are already saying Shiva, or does he have to establish his own Shiva when he gets there? So there's right now the Bryce introduces two separate concerns. One is when in the Shiva does the Avel arrive, and where does the Avel arrive from? So if the Avel arrives within the first 3 days of the Shiva, if he's coming from a nearby place, which we'll define as within 1 day's travel of the Avelim, so, you know, he's, you know, lives, you know, 25 hours, within 24 hours. So if he comes from a close place within the first 3 days, Mona Mahen, he will now combine with the Shiva already started. So he will only sit Shiva for maybe 5 or 6 days because he already came within those first 3 days. However, Bami Makam Rachok, if the Avel is coming from a faraway place, so even if he comes on the second day, Monil Asmo, he has to make his own counting. Mikam Ve'elach, from then on, right now it's from after the 3 days, if the Avel comes on day 4, 5, 6, or 7, Afilu Bami Makam Karov, even if the Avel lives nearby, but he comes in the midst of the Shiva in a later day, Monil Asmo, he has to count for himself. And just to clarify, the case here is where the Avel comes to the town and he finds out that there was a death, right? He didn't know already that a death occurred, so he comes and he has to count on his own count. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shimon disagrees. He says the following. Afilu babi yom hashvi, even if the Avel comes on the very last day of Shiva, on the seventh day, the Avelim are about to get up, we'll see later, he comes on that last day of Shiva, mimakam karov, if he comes from a nearby place, mona imahen, he can still count his Shiva with other Avelim, and he would end up only saying Shiva for maybe a couple moments or a couple days. Nonetheless, the only defining issue is makam karov or makam rachok, nearby or far away, but not about the day that he comes. So now the Gemara is going to try to elaborate on this brisa. So Amar Mar, we said in the brisa, Gimel Yamim Harishonim, Bami Makam Karov Mona Imahen, if you come on the first 3 days from a nearby place, you count with the Avelim. So Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, the name of Rabbi Yochanan, is going to make a very important qualification to this statement, because he adds the concept of not only does it matter where you come from, not only does it matter when you come, but also matters who's sitting Shiva, because you require v'hu shish gadol habayis b'bayis. You require there to be what we term a gadol habayis, the head of the household. And this is a term that is subject to a little bit of disagreement in, you know, both, I think, the Rishonim as well as l'halacha. L'maisa, what is the definition of gadol habayis? Some people define it, if you look at Rashi says that gadol habayis b'bayis, the last Rashan Adaf, Rashi will define the gadol habayis as this person who's coming is younger. So Rashi is defining it based on an age category. And the older brother is sitting Shiva. The younger brother comes and finds the older brother sitting Shiva. He could be Mona Imahen. However, if, you know, so then he can count. But if there is no Gadol Habayis, then you would have to count on your own no matter what. Because you could only have the younger one combining his Shiva with the Gadol Habayis. The Gadol Habayis comes and there's a younger person's Kishiva, that older brother, so to speak, cannot combine his Shiva with the younger one. So you require that anchor. Other you know, Shitas will hold that Gadol Habayis is not defined by the age of the Avel, but by the actual Gadol Habayis, how we use it colloquially, the head of the household, right? So if there's, you know, somebody who runs the house, who's the, you know, like, and sometimes you go to Shiva house, you know who the Gadol Habayis is, you know, based on the family structure, that would be a definition, more of a liberal definition than just a pure age definition. Okay. Regardless, this idea of combining Shiva requires the Gadol Habayis to be anchored in the house sitting Shiva, then the relative comes from a nearby place, he can now combine his Shiva, latch onto the Gadol Habayis to Shiva. So ask the Gemara the following question, Ibayalhu, switching to Chaf Beis Amid Aleph, Halach Gadol Habayis Labayis HaKfaros. What about the situation, which happens relatively commonly, where the mace, the dead person, is not going to be buried locally, but the mace is going to be buried at a distance somewhat far away. You know, historically, that might have been, you know, another town. It would take a couple days to travel. Nowadays, the issue comes up, you know, mace I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. What if the Gadol Habayis travels to the Beis HaKvaros, but the rest of the Avelim stay behind? Mm-hmm. And we're going to learn in a couple of lines down is that when the mace is going to be buried in a faraway town, and the Avelim do not travel to that town, the Avelim start the Shiva right away, as soon as the dead body leaves the area. So they're going to start Shiva right away. This Gadol HaBayis goes and buries the dead, and he comes back, let's say, 2-3 days later. What do you do in that situation in terms of the Shiva? Does the Gadol HaBayis still combine to the Shiva that was already started? Does the Gadol HaBayis start his own Shiva? What do you do in that situation? So Tashma, come in here, Braisa. Damar Rechia Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rechia Bar Abba says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Afilu halach Gadol HaBayis lebeit HaKvaros mona imahen. That even if the Gadol HaBayis goes to the Beit HaKvaros, he would count the Shiva together with those who already started Shiva. So what would happen is that they would start Shiva. Let's say the funeral is on Sunday. Then they're going to be going to a town that's day travel away. So the Avelim who don't travel will start Shiva on Sunday. This Gadol HaBayis is going to travel to the next town, do the burial on Monday. You would think his Shiva should start on Monday. No, when he comes back, his Shiva actually will have started already on Sunday, and everyone will get up, you know, Shabbos morning, so to speak. Moni Mahen. So, Frak, the Gemara, I'm going to ask a question. Moni, Moni, you're saying to me that the Gadol HaBayis will count his Shiva together with the other participants in the Shiva. But Tanya, but I have another Braisa that says, Moni L'Atzma, right? One Braisa says you count with him. But I have another Braisa that tells me that he counts on his own. So how can that be? How can you reconcile those two different opinions? So the Gemara says, Lo Kasha, that's not a question. Ha de'asa begot tilsa. Depends again that 3-day categorization. Is the Gadol HaBayis returning to the Shiva within the 3-day time frame, or is he coming after 3 days have already elapsed? So Kiha de Amar Lahu Rebbe Livnei Hatzilfuni. Like for example, Rav said to the people who lived in the town of Silfoni, the Asu Begotilsa, Livnei Badechu, if the Gadol HaBayis is gonna come to your Shiva within 3 days, he should count together with you. If he's coming after 3 days, he should count on his own. So, for example, again, our example of Sunday. The funeral occurs on Sunday. The Avelim who do not travel with the mace will begin their Shiva right away on Sunday after the funeral. This Gadol HaBayis goes and travels. If the burial occurs on Monday and he returns to town Monday or Tuesday, so it's within that 3-day frame, he would count Shiva together with everybody who already started the Shiva. However, if he's not going to return until, let's say, Thursday, that's after our 3-day time frame, then he would have to count Shiva on his own and start his Shiva from the time of the burial, whenever he started, and he would continue Shiva on his own until he finishes. Okay. Again, how this applies to burials in Eretz Yisrael, I think that would probably be the most halachal and ma'isa situation. You have to go through the Gemara, go through the Rishonim, and you know the Shulchan Aruch. But this is just kind of general concepts of frameworks, how Rabbanim might approach the Shaila. And is there a Gadol HaBayis? Is there not a Gadol HaBayis? When the time frame, Makom Karav, Makom Rachel, these are all definitions that have to be defined, but it's important to just understand the concept behind it. So Amar Lahu Rava of Bnei Mechuzah, back in the Gemara, Rava says the following to the Bnei Mechuzah, the people in the town. Atun. Delo azisu basar arsa. You people in town who do not travel after the coffin. In other words, basically these are people who go to the funeral, and the mace goes to the edge of town, but they do not travel further. The mace goes on to the next town to be buried, but you do not travel after the coffin. So what do you do? Michi mahadraisu apaychu mi baba deivula. From the time that you turn your faces around from the face of the avelos, aschilu mana, begin your shiva. And this is the halacha lemaisa, right? That in other words, if you're not going to travel out of town to the actual burial, from the time that the funeral procession leaves the area and you turn your face away to begin, you know, that avilus process, that's when Shiva would begin. Again, same thing, halacha l'maisa, if someone who's not trying to Israel, their Shiva begins right away as soon as, you know, the coffin leaves the area. Okay, so that's the end of that point. And now the Gemara is going to elaborate a little more, because remember, we had a machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon. Again, the Chachamim were differentiating between time frame and location. They said that the only time you could combine the Shivas of an Avel, a late-arriving Avel, is if the Avel is coming from a Makom Karov, and it's within the first 3 days. Rabbi Shimon says that I disagree. It doesn't matter when the Avel arrives. No matter when the Avel arrives, if it's within, even if it's on the last day of Shiva, he can still combine his Shiva with the other Avelim. So Gemara tries to clarify, she does Rabbi Shimon. So in the two dots, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Afilu ba b'yom hashvi'i. Even though Abel comes on the last day, yimalkam karov morning ma'am. If he's coming from a nearby place, he counts the shiva together with him. So Amar b'chia bar gamda, Amar Rabbi Yossi ben Shaul. So b'chia bar gamda says the name of Rabbi Yossi ben Shaul, Amar Rebbe in the name of Rebbe. V'hu sheba umatz minachum eslam. It has to be a situation where he comes and the avelim are still saying shiva. Because if we recall from prior dapim, we have this concept of mixas hayom kikulo, that part of a day is like a whole day. So last day of shiva, we don't sit shiva for the whole day. The avelim get up from shiva after shachar, right? They sit shiva for a couple of minutes and then we tell them get up and they go out and shiva is over. So if this relative who's traveling from a nearby place shows up on the last day of shiva, but the last day of shiva, let's say, is Tuesday, and he comes at lunchtime on Tuesday. He gets to the house. He says, I'm here. Oh, you missed it, the whole thing. The person passed away. Oh, my gosh, I had no idea. The whole thing. And then they're like, he's like, okay, let's sit shiva. They're like, we got up already 3 hours ago. Shachar was at 8 o'clock. So then he can't say, okay, I'm going to start with you guys. I came on the last day. I'm good to go. No, it has to be that when he actually comes to the house, the avelim are still sitting shiva. And the Gemara tries to clarify this a little bit more. The Gemara asks the following question. Bai Rabbi Anan. Rabbi Anan asks the following question. Ninyiru lama over lo amdu. So what exactly is the definition of sitting shiva? What if they're ninyiru, like literally they're stirring up to get up, but they didn't actually get up, right? So they're like, you know, getting ready to get up, but they didn't physically get up yet. So what would be the halacha in that situation? Mahu as halacha? Take the Gemara just leaves it unresolved. We don't know the answer to that situation. I mean, it gets a very specific time frame, but it's important because every halacha has a very specific definition to its time frame. In that situation where they're about to arrive but they haven't physically arisen yet, that's a question that remains unresolved in the sugya. Okay.
I think a person who comes at the last minute wants to sit shiva at least one day because, you know, he just heard bad news. He cannot go on his business all of a sudden.
Right.
He needs that at least one day of, you know,
right.
accepting it.
Yeah, so again, shiva has that psychological component to it. Right. But, although we know also that there are situations where we will want people to sit shiva, but they don't sit shiva, right? If a Chas HaShalom Mace dies on Rosh Hashanah, you know they sit shiva for 2 hours and they get up. So it doesn't always work out. The halachas of shiva don't always work out with the psychological components of shiva.
That's because Rabbanan holds that one should observe and be happy with the holiday.
Right.
But here, if it's in the middle of the week, middle of the year, and there's nothing there, then he at least observe, you know, one day.
He wants to say,
accept it.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean he has to get up with them 2 minutes later. But as long as he sat with them for the first 2 minutes, they can get up.
Right, but I'm talking about the previous scenario where he came and they already got up 3 hours ago.
But he doesn't have to get up that second. They're going to sit for the rest of the night.
They got up already.
Then he has to do something.
Yeah, 100%. Okay. So now we have another discussion. So Gimiri, right? Gimiri Chavrei de Rabbi Abba Bar Chiya, Mei Rabbi Abba. So we have a tradition that the friends of Rabbi Abba Bar Chiya learned from Rabbi Abba. Umanu, who were these? Rabbi Zera, that was Rabbi Zera. So Rabbi Zera learning from Rabbi Abba. Ve'amri la Chavrei de Rabbi Zera. Other people have it the other way. That the friends of Rabbi Zera, the friend of Rabbi Zera, Mei Rabbi Zera, learned the following halacha from Rabbi Zera. Umanu, who was that person who learned the halacha? Rabbi Abba Barei de Rabbi Chiya, Bar Abba. It was Rabbi Abba, the son of Rabbi Chiya, Bar Abba. So either way, we have, you know, one Amora, learning halacha from another Amora, in the name of Amar Rabbi Yochanan, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, the following. Halacha k'Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, betrefos, halacha k'Rabbi Shimon ba'abel. That, again, we had a machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon in our Braisa about the Abel who comes on that last day. So we have a tradition in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that we paskin like Rabbi Shimon ba'abel, but we also have a tradition that we paskin like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel by trefos. So the Gemara is going to say, "Kiri Shem ba'Avel hadamrin." Okay, I understand what you mean. Halacha the Kiri Shem ba'Avel. That's our sugya, right? That's what we've been doing for the last, you know, couple moments. Rabbi Shem b'Gamliel b'Treifos. What's this halacha? We pass in like Rabbi Shem b'Gamliel by the halachos of Treifos. Right? Treifos is when an animal is shechted. It has to be, you know, an animal that is healthy. It has to be an animal that doesn't have any specific issues that would cause it to have died within the next 12 months. So if an animal has, you know, like a hole in the heart or whatever, that's a trefa, right? The animal is not able to live, and if you shecht it, the animal is not kosher, even if you shecht it. So what is this halacha? What's the machlokas by the hilchos trefos that we pass in like Rav Shimon Gamliel? So the Gemara explains and elaborates on the first white line of Chapesam and Aleph, Ditanan. We have a bright Mishnah. B'nei mei ayim shenikvu. If you have a hole in the intestines, v'leichas osmasan, but you have the moisture or the mucus plugging the hole of the intestines. So is that a trefa or is that not a trefa, right? Because you have a hole in the intestines, but it's plugged by the mucus. So kshera, the Tanakhama holds, sorry, I said it wrong. Kshera direi Shimon Gamliel. Shimon Gamliel holds that animal is kosher. So my lecha, like Gemara clarifies, what is this lecha that we're translating as, you know, moisture or mucus? So Arba Kahana, Shirka Dimaya Dinafik Agad Ducha. It's the intestinal secretions that get pushed out of the intestines with pressure. So if you have a situation where you have the hole in the intestines, but it's being filled up by the intestinal juices that are being pushed out by the intestines, according to Rosh Hashanah Gamliel, that's not a treifa. That animal would be kosher. So the Gemara has an interesting story. So Amar Mantu, somebody said, the Gemara doesn't tell you who this person is. Mantu, Poni Almoni, gets up and he says the following. If Kiva Asik the Agamar Lishmaitan Puin Demara, he was living in, let's say, Babel. He says, Ifki, I should have the Zechus. I want to go up and I want to learn this halacha from the mouth of that the one who said it. Right? Remember, we had a discussion that Rabbi Zera is learning it from Rabbi Abba, or Rabbi Abba is learning it from Rabbi Zera, and then Rabbi Yochanan. He says, I want to hear it directly from the mouth of the Amora who said this halacha. So he said, I'm going to go up to Israel to learn this halacha. So Ki Salik, so he gets up to Eretz Israel. So he finds one of the participants in our story, Rabbi Abba, the son of Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. So he says, Amar Lai, he says to him, Amar Mar, halacha Rabbi Shimon Gamliel b'trefos. Did Master say, did Rabbi say, we paskin like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel by trefos when there's a hole in the intestines and it's plugged up by the mucus? Amar Lai, Ana, me, ain't halacha Amri. I said, halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So the whole tradition was a mistake. I didn't pass it like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. I said, halacha is against Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. This animal would be a treifa. So he says, oh boy, I got to relearn the whole sugya. So Rabbi Shimon by Abba Mai. What about Rabbi Shimon by Abba Mai? Our sugya, do we pass it like Rabbi Shimon in our sugya? Now I had the treifa situation incorrectly. What about our sugya? Do we pass it like Rabbi Shimon or do we pass it like Tanakama? So Amar Lai, he says to him, it's a machlokas. Dimar, because we have the following machlokas, how we paskin. Rav Chista Amar Halacha. Rav Chista says we paskin like Rabbi Shimon of the late coming Avel. V'chein Rabbi Yochanan Halacha. Rabbi Yochanan also says we paskin like Rabbi Shimon. Rav Nachman Amar Ein Halacha. However, Rav Nachman says we do not paskin like Rabbi Shimon, we paskin like the Chachamim. So the Gemara concludes, V'ein halacha k'Rabbi Shimon Gamliel b'treifos. We do not paskin like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel b'treifos. We're machmir that the animal is a treifa if it has a hole in the intestines. However, v'halacha k'Rabbi Shimon b'aval. But we do paskin like Rabbi Shimon in haracha b'avelos. If a late aval comes, he can still be mona iman. He can still combine with other avelos even on that last day of Shiva. Why? D'amar Shmuel, because we have a concept of Shmuel which comes up throughout the parak. Halacha k'divrei. Ha-mekel ba-avel, that we always paskin like the one who is more mekel in Hilchos Avelos. So Rabbi Shimon is more mekel because he allows the combining of the Shiva even later on in the process. Therefore, using Shmuel's concept of halachic divrei ha-mekel ba-avel, we will paskin like Rabbi Shimon by Avelos. Okay? Any questions about that, or we're gonna switch now to another topic? Okay. Moving on. So, Al-Kol HaMesen Kulan, Mancha Mitaso, HaRezim Meshubach. So, this is an interesting concept. The Gemara says that by all Avelim, all the Mesim, so Mancha Mitaso, which was Mancha Mitaso, Rashi translates the second class to Rashi on the Daf, Mimaher Lotio, hurrying up the burial. If one hurries up the funeral, HaRezim Meshubach, that's beautiful. That's great because you want to get the Mes buried, cover the Mes. Alav Al-Imo, however, for one's parent, HaRezim Meguna, that is inappropriate. Because you should want, a child should want to, you know, delay the funeral to increase, you know, to increase the size and, you know, to really increase the hespedim, etc. Don't want to rush the funeral. So the Gemara says, however, Haya Erev Shabbos or Erev Yontif. However, let's say it's Erev Shabbos. Let's say it's Erev Yontif. If you don't get the funeral in, then the mace is going to be resting around for several days. So Harei Mishubach, that situation is also appropriate, even for a child, to hurry up the funeral of a parent. She'eno osa elichvot avivima, because in that situation, it's clear that the hurrying of the burial is for a kavod avivima. Akol amisin kulon, ratza mimayit v'iskal ratza enamayit. So by all avilim, if one wants to decrease their business practices, they can. If they don't, they're not required to. However, flipping over to Amabez, al aviv al imo, on one's parent, mimayit, you are required to decrease from your business work during the avilos. Alkol amesin kulan rasa cholit rasa eino cholit. This is the concept of called chalitza. Rashi says chalitza is ksefo, it's bearing of the shoulder. So on all the mesim, if one wants to bear the shoulder, one is able to, but not required to. However, on one's parent, one is required to bear the shoulder. Umaisa, okay, and that's you know, not to get, again, we don't do this concept of cholit ksefo, bearing the shoulder. For a discussion of that, you know, we can look at one's Amar Halachas Svarim, why this practice has not been, you know, practiced, you know, in centuries, basically. Umayisa begadol hador, there is a situation with a gadol hador, echad, shemeis aviv. So in other words, there's a gadol hador whose parent dies. Uvekesh lachos, he wanted to do a bearing of the shoulder. Uvikesh gadol hador acher shimo, there's another gadol hador who was with him, lachos. So you have one person, one gadol hador, whose parent dies. So that gadol hador is going to do the chalitza, the removing of the bearing of the shoulder. So he's there with his, you know, friend, who's also a gadol hador, right? You know, he thinks they're together. So the other gadol hador also wants to now do chalitza. V'nimna v'lochal. So the gadol hador did not do the chalitza because he didn't want his friend to also do chalitza. So out of kavod of his friend, he's like, if I do chalitza, then my friend's going to do it. So he didn't want his friend to do it, so he didn't do it himself. So who are these people? It's an interesting idea, right? So Amar Abaye, Abaye says, I'm going to tell you who these people were in this story. Gadol Hador, Rebbe. The Gadol Hador who was in Avelus was Rebbe, right? Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi. Gadol Hador Shi'imo, Rebbe Yaakov Bar Acha. The Gadol Hador who was with him was Rebbe Yaakov Bar Acha. Viga Damri, people had a tradition the opposite way. Gadol Hador, Rebbe Yaakov Bar Acha. The Gadol Hador was actually Rebbe Yaakov Bar Acha. Gadol Hador Shi'imo, who was with him, Rebbe, was Rebbe. So Gemara's going to analyze these two possibilities. It's not just, you know, what the story is, because there's actually going to be some interesting discussion about that. So again, let's go through it. Bishlama, it makes sense. Laman de Amar, Gadol Hador Shi'imo Rebbe. It makes sense if Rebbe Yaakov Bar Acha was the Avel. Sitting with him was Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi. So what happened was, Hainu Dibnimna V'lo Chalat. So Rebbe Yaakov Bar Acha sitting there. He's going to do Chalitza's shoulder, HaKseifav. Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi is sitting across from him. He knows that if he does Chalitza, Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi is going to do Chalitza. He says, I'm not doing Chalitza. I don't want to make Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi also do Chalitza. It's not kavod for the Nasi. For me to do Chalitza, then he's going to have to do Chalitza. So that's logical. However, Elman da Amar, Rebbe Yaakov Bar Acha, that the other person, whether Rebbe Yaakov Bar Acha, so what happens now? So Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi is now an Avel. Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi's father dies. Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi's father was the Nasi, right? So Amai Nimna V'lo Chalitz, Rebbe Shimon ben Gamliel. Who was Rebbe Yehuda Nasi's father? Rebbe Yehuda Nasi's father was Rebbe Shimon ben Gamliel. Nasi Hai. Rebbe Shimon ben Gamliel was the Nasi, and we have a concept of Chuli Alma Mechayvi LeMichlatz. There's an idea that not only does one have to do the Chalitza for a parent, but we're going to see later on in the daf that there are certain Avelos, Nihugay Avelos, that apply even for a Nasi to all of Klal Yisrael. It's almost like the parent of Klal Yisrael has passed away. So here you have Rebbe who's an Avelos for his father, the Nasi. Rebbe's like, if I do Chalitza, Rebbe Yaakov Bar Acha is going to have to do Chalitza. I don't want to make Rebbe Yaakov Bar Acha have to do Chalitza, because it's not kavod to him. So I'm going to stop and not do Chalitza. Ask the Gemara, what do you mean? Rebbe Yaakov Bar Acha has to do Chalitza anyway, because the Nasi died. And everyone has to do Chalitza for the Nasi. So why is Rebbe not doing Chalitza? Because he's afraid that Rebbe Yaakov Bar Acha is going to do Chalitza. Everyone has to do Chalitza. So Gemara says, that's a good kasha. So kasha. Gemara leaves it unresolved. It doesn't say teku, it says kasha, so maybe there is a resolution, but we don't have the resolution recorded in the Gemara. Okay. Again, these are a little bit, it's a little esoteric, that's again, because we don't have practically chalitza's ksafiv nowadays, but it's still an idea of a differentiation between avelos for parent versus avelos for other relatives. The Gemara continues, again, differentiating between avelos for parent versus other avelim. So this is, better known concept, that for all Avelim, they're allowed to get a haircut after Shloshim is completed. But for a parent, one's not allowed to get a haircut, Ashig Aru Bo Chaveiro, until his friend literally reprimands him, like, you look like a shlom, go get a haircut. So I think people in the shul are very comfortable doing that for their friends. So, you know, if you see somebody whose hair is long after Shloshim for a parent, you know, tell them time to get a haircut, and then they'll appreciate it. Okay. Another concept that gets a lot of ink written about it is the concept of going to a Beis HaSimcha. So for all Avelim, one is allowed to go to the Beis HaSimcha. The, you know, again, how we define it will be a very interesting point. But they're allowed to go to the Beis HaSimcha, the place of, you know, I guess where parties are occurring. After Shloshim is completed. I love Al-Ima, but for a parent, again, so the Beis HaSimcha is permitted for an Avel to enter after Shloshim, but if it's a Avelos for parent, you have to wait until after Yabes Chodesh, after 12 months. So and it's an interesting qualification the Gemara says. Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Ulesimcha Mereyas. And for Simchas Mereyas, Rashi defines Simcha Mereyas, Rashi where the lines get skinny. Suda Sha'osen Reyim Vauhuvim Zemzet. It's a party that friends throw for another. It's, you know, it's a nice party. It's not that happy. avasuda de simcha could go into nisuin lo. But if it's for a wedding celebration, it would not apply. So it's very cryptic here what that means, lo simcha me reyes. Because again, we have a concept that says avelim are shloshim yom, and for a parent it's 12 months. And the Gemara says ulasimcha me reyes. So does that mean ulasimcha me reyes, these halachos apply, but for other simchos, these halachos do not apply? Does it mean that for simcha me'reyas, these halachas apply, but for our simchas, we're more machmir, more mekel? You could go a lot of different opportunities, right? Is the simcha me'reyas happier than the beis ha-simcha, less happy than the beis ha-simcha? Is it more machmir? Is it more mekel? The Gemara doesn't clarify very well right now. Rashi seems to say that these simchas are less happy, and therefore maybe more mekel. But simcha me'reyas maybe is, other beis ha-simcha would be more machmir, less machmir. It's hard to know exactly from the Gemara alone how you can't make up halachos l'maisa based on just the way the Gemara says the simcha merias. You have to learn through the sugya again to try to figure out what simcha merias is, what's the beis ha-simcha, what applies when, etc. Okay, the Gemara is going to clarify.
Maybe Sheva Brachos is like a chatzi simcha.
Right.
Okay, and then the actual chasana.
Right. Possible, yeah. Chasana, Sheva Brachos, Bris, Shalom Zachar, Kiddush. There's a lot of different things that we,
Kiddush is usually on Shabbos and Yontif, there's no one else.
Possibly, but some people, again, some people say you shouldn't go to the Kiddush on Shabbat because, there is a, it's not available. Either way, so yeah. Okay. So the Gemara does qualify a little bit. So again, we said that, L'simcha me'reyes. We have the following kasha. L'simcha u'l'me'reyes la'miyom. So the problem is that, you see where it says meisve, they have a question. Because it's a braisa that equates simcha and me'reyes, right? So we said, b'isa simcha is different than simcha me'reyes. We have a braisa that says that for simcha, and for Mireyas, both are 30 days. So when it says Kasha, that's a Kasha. Okay. So Amemer Mas Nihachi, Amemer said the following. Amar Rabbi Barbarchana. Rabbi Barbarchana said the following. L'simcha Mireyas, Mutr Lichanis La'atar. Here we say Simcha Mireyas is less of a Simcha, and therefore it would be Mutr to go to Simcha Mireyas right away, even right after Shiva. I have a Hatanya Simcha Shloshim, Umireyas Shloshim, but we have a brace that says both for a Beis HaSimcha and for Simcha Me'reyas, it requires 30 days. So how can you tell me that Simcha Me'reyas is mutter right away? But here you're telling me Simcha Me'reyas is 30 days. So Gemara says, look, Kasha, this I have an answer to. Ha ba'arisusa, ha b'paranusa. So what does this mean? So if you look at Rashi, these cryptic words, ha ba'arisusa, ha b'paranusa. Arisa, what's an arisa? Hainu shemaschal echa mehen laso suda. That arisa is where you have, let's say a group of friends, let's say you have five friends, and they decide all together, we're going to have a rotating party, basically, right? So I'll host, the first time, and then each person will take, next month, we'll host another party. So if you're going to have that initial party, right? So all five friends together, we're going to rotate houses for parties. So, and then you borrow for others to do the same thing. So, the initial party cannot take place until after Shloshim. However, Avol b'Paranusa, where they're paying you back, right? Paranusa, like it's basically a payback, it's a potluck. Shenishalim lahem sudas sha'asu lo kfar. They're paying you back, you made a big party. Now it's their turn to host, but you're in Shloshim. So, doesn't matter, that's mutter. Yichanis la'alter, that's completely mutter. She'asher lo shalo l'shalim, because it's impossible for them not to pay you back. So, what the Gemara is saying is that if you have this Simcha Me'reyas, where you have this rotating friend party, to initiate the whole cycle is not permitted during Shloshim. However, the cycle is already initiated, and it's the Avel's turn to be reciprocated, to go to someone's house, he would be permitted to go to that house, even during the Shloshim. Okay, back in the Gemara. So again, where the Zion is. Alkol ha-mesim kulan, for all the mesim. So now we're going to talk about Hilchos Kriya for the mace. So by all Avelim, Korea Tefach, one has required to tear at least a tefach length of a kriya. Alav v'alima, for one's parent. Ach yigla es liba, one is required to actually tear as far down as exposing the location across from their heart. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, Ma'akra, where is the source that we require the kriya to be at least a tefach? Because the pasuk says in Shmuel by David HaMelech, Vayichazik David bivigadav, David grabs his garment, Vayikarim, and he tears it. I believe this is when David finds out about Shaul HaMelech being killed. So David HaMelech tears his garment, but it says the pasuk uses the lashon of achiza, of grabbing. Vein achiza pachos mitefach. Grabbing, the lashon achiza, you can only grab at least a tefach. So the fact that David grabs the tearing means that he did a kriya of at least a tefach. Okay. Al kol hamesim kulan afilu lavash asara chalukin Eino Korea Ela Elyon. By all the Mesim, even if you're wearing, one is wearing 10 garments, right? All the different garments. One only tears the most outer garment. Alaval Ima Korea's Kulam. But for a parent, one is required to tear all the garments one is wearing at the time of the Kriya. Says the Gemara qualification, Va'afikarsuso Eina Makeves. This garment called an Afkarisuso does not require a Kriya. Rashi defines Afikusaso as basically a kerchief that like goes around the head that maybe like trying to drift down the shoulders. So that doesn't require a Kriya. Others actually define a Picasso as a undershirt, right? The undergarments do not require a Kriya because those are for perspiration. Either way, this garment does not require a Kriya, but all other garments do require a Kriya. Echad ha'ish v'echad isha, both a man and a woman, Avel or Avela, are required to do a Kriya. Rishon ben Elazar Omer, ha'isha koras es ha'tzor. So Rishon ben Elazar qualifies how a woman should do Kriya because so a woman does a full kriya, that might be inappropriate because she's going to be slightly exposed. So he says the following, Ha'isha koras es hatachton, and the woman should tear her inner garment first. Umachazi rasa lachora, right? She tears, let's say she's wearing a sweatshirt and a shirt. So tear the shirt, turn the shirt backwards, so the tear is now in the back, and the back of the shirt is now in the front, so there's no more tear. Umachazi rasa lachoreha, v'chozeres koras es alyon, and then she can tear the outer garment, because and then she won't be exposed because she has the shirt underneath her that is torn, but the tear is in the back, and now she is still covered. Okay. Alkol amisin kulan rata mabdil kame safa shalo rata ina mabdil. So this is talking about the hem of the garment, so to speak. So in other words, that by all the mason, if one wants to tear the kame safa, the stitching, I guess, on the top of the garment, that's permitted or not required. Alaval ima ban apparent. Mavdil, one is required to separate from the top of the garment. Again, if you look at the Rashi, Rasa Mavdil Kamit Safa, Rashi explains that the Safa is basically the neckline. Kamit Safa is before the neckline, that it doesn't require Kriya. You could just tear underneath it, right? So if someone's wearing, let's say, a t-shirt, right? Do they have to tear from the top of the t-shirt, or can they just tear from, like, somewhere below that neckline of the t-shirt? So for any other avel, one can tear from below the neckline. But for an avel, for a parent, one's required to tear from the top of the garment, because that's more of an avelos. Ratzah ima mavdil, al avel ima mavdil, one is required to tear from the top of the garment. Rabbi Huda Omer, Rabbi Huda says the following, Ko kriya sheino mavdil kame safa shalo eino kara. Eino ela karishal tiflos. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He says that by all Avelim are required to tear from the Kamei Safa, from the neckline, because any tear that's not from the neckline is just a karishal tiflos. It's a waste of a tear. It's not a tear. It's not kriya. It's just ripping your garment for no purpose. Okay. I'm Rabbi Abahu. Rabbi Abahu clarifies. My time with Rabbi Yehuda. What's the reason for Rabbi Yehuda? Dichsid, the pasuk says, Vayichazek bibigadav. He grabbed the garment. Again, talking about Dabah. No, this is actually different situation. Kriyas is in Malachim. Vayikareim lishnayim kraim. He tore the garment into two tearings. Mimash v'shenemar vayikareim. From the fact that it says that the person tore his garment, ein yodei ashein lishnayim. You said he tore it into two tears. Obviously, if you tear something, it's into two. So in fact, the pasuk says he tore it. Don't I know that's already into two? So why is the pasuk telling me he tore it into two? Right? Mi'ash shenemar v'yikareim ein yodei ashein lishnayim. Ela shenirin keruyim kishnayim. Because he requires it to appear as if the garment is torn into two. So if you tear from the kamei safa, from the neckline, and you tear down, now it looks like you got two garments. That's a kriya. If you tear from the middle of the garment, just a little bit in the middle, that doesn't look like two kriya. It looks like you got stuck on a nail somewhere and your shirt got torn, you know? It doesn't look like you're torn a garment into two separate tearings. Okay. Going to the next halacha about the avelos differentiation. Alkol amisin kulan sholo la'achar shiva humache la'achar shlishin. It's talking about repairing the tear. So now one has done kriya. Now one has to find out, can they repair the tear after the shiva is over? So by all other mesim, all other avelim, one can be sholel. Sholel means to do loose stitching or perhaps safety pinning. You can do that after the shiva. And macha means a full recovery. You can fully repair the tear. You can fully stitch it up after the shoshim are complete. Alav al ima, by one's parent. Sholol achar lamid, one can modify the tear after lamid. So in other words, either like a loose stitching or maybe safety pinning it together. Ve'ina macha la'olam, but one can never repair the tear one did. You can never fully repair the tear for one's parent, even after the yibes chodesh. Says the Gemara of Ha'isha, a woman, Shalasa l'alter. When a woman can modify the tear right away, even during the Shiva, right away after the Kriya, she can modify the tear. Because of her honor, again, to not have her inappropriately exposed, so she can modify the tear by being sholal tear. Sholal tear means to, again, loosely stitch it, but perhaps it could also mean safety pinning it. So a lot of times, I've seen in Shiva where women have, they have a kriya, but then they safety pin the garment that they tore. This is probably that halacha of sholal to the altar. Okay. Kiasa Ravin, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Ravin says the following in Rabbi Yochanan. Akol amesim, rata korea biyad, again, how do we do the kriya? So by all means, one can do kriya with their hands, or one can do kriya with a kli using an instrument to help you tear the garment. I love Al-Ima, but by one's parent, biyad, one is required to do the kriya biyad. Now, just to clarify, I think most people know that when it's very hard to tear modern-day clothing from the beginning biyad. So I think both can say it's okay to start to tear. I think most Rabbanim is kind of like their bag of tricks. They have the cards for the cards for the Shabbat brachos. They have they always have things. One thing they have is a sharp blade to begin the tear. But that's just to get started. But then the kriya itself, the actual kriya alibo, should be biyad for one's parent. So that's how we pass. That's how we do it lemaisa. Okay. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, again, second white line. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Alkal Mason Kulan mi bifnim. By all Avelim, they should do the Kriya bifnim. Now, it's going to be interesting how we define bifnim. Bifnim means literally from the inside. So does it from the inside mean the manner in which you rip the garment? Or does it mean the situation you are in, right? Does it mean that one would rip the garment from the inside, and the way they do the Kriya is they grab from the inside and rip? Or does it mean they should do it in private? Bifnim, inside, in private. So by all our mason, one does the kriya mi bifnim, from the inside. Alav al imo, korea mi bachutz. One would tear from the outside. Either literally, they tear the garment on the outside, that's how they rip it, or it means that one should do it, when one is in avelus for parent, the kriya should be done in public. A lot of times I think nowadays we do the kriya at the beis ha'avel, at the funeral, that would be mi bachutz. That's, both literally mi bachutz and also actually mi bachutz in terms of outside for everyone to see. Rabbi Chista, Rabbi Chista says the following, v'chein l'nasi, that we compare one's parent to nasi when it comes to kriya mi b'chutz. That just like one does kriya mi b'chutz for a parent, one should also do kriya mi b'chutz for a nasi, for the ex-galar, or for the head of the Jewish people. So Meisvei, they ask the following kasha, lo hushvu l'aviv u'li'imo, that there's a brisa that basically compares the nasi, the different people in Klal Yisrael, to one's parent for avilas. So the brisa says that we do not compare one's parent to the Nasi and to all these other people. Rashi says, his Rebbe, the Av Beis Din, the head of the Beis Din, the Nasi. So the three people, we don't compare them to a parent. Ela li'ichoy b'vad, that just like one is not allowed to forever repair the rip, when the kriya one does for a parent, so too when one is never allowed to repair the rip, one does for the Nasi, for the Av Beis Din, for his Rebbe. So you see that that we compare it. So when it says, my lav, you see that even for the Nasi, we only compare a parent to a Nasi when it comes to repairing the Kriya. Right? And again, the Brisa says that we only compare a parent to the Av Beis Din, the Nasi, and the Rebbe when it comes to repairing the tear. What you see from that is, what about Kriya Mi B'chutz? What about tearing from the outside? It would not be the same. But you told me it is the same. So that's Akasha, right? In other words, we only compare one to the parent when it comes to the repair, but it doesn't say anything about comparing to a parent when it comes to kriya mi b'chutz. So Gemara says, my lava filu nasi, isn't this including the nasi? No, lo levar mi nasi, that excludes the nasi. And so what the Brisa is saying is that the Rebbe, Av Beis Din, and nasi, all three of them are compared to parent when it comes to repairing the tear. However, when it comes to kriya mi b'chutz, the nasi is like a parent, but the Rebbe and the Av Beis Din are not like a parent. So you can't put it, and again, the Brisa is trying to lift things that all of them have in common. All four people have in common. Parents, Rebbe, Nasi, etc. All four of them are only in common when it comes to repairing the tear. However, when it comes to kriya b'chutz, the Nasi and parent are mi-b'chutz. The Av Beis Din and the Rebbe would not be kriya mi-b'chutz. So that's kind of a technical way of getting out of the question. Okay. So Gemara elaborates. So Nisiya Shachiv. The Nasi died. So Amar Rebbe Chista, Rav Nachman bar Ami, right? There's a different girsa here. So Rav Chista says to Rav Nachman bar Ami, after the Nasi dies, kape asisa, flip over your, your stool, so to speak. In other words, flip over something so you can stand up, so everyone can see. Rashi says, right, stand up on it and do a kriya, the kumale, get up on it, The achvi kriya la'aman, show your kriya to everybody, because again, he's passing that the nasi, the kriya is mi b'chutz, it's on the outside. So he says, flip over your stool, get up, let everyone see you. So that way you could do a kriya mi b'chutz, because he's passing that for nasi, the kriya would be mi b'chutz. Al chacham choles mi amin. So again, going back to this idea of the chalitza bearing the shoulder. So for a chacham, when we do the chalitza on the right side, where he would bear his right shoulder, al av beivdin mi smol, if it's for the av beivdin, for the head of the Beis Din, the bearing would be on the left side, al nasi, but if it's for a nasi, mikan and mikan, the bearing would be on both sides, the right and the left. Okay, so at this point, the Gemara is going to get into another break, so that gets us into the whole next stop. So we will stop there. Everyone should have a ksiva, v'chassima tova, and good year. Good amount of time.
Perfect.